Hello and welcome to episode 18 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host, a man who was said to be the inspiration behind Michelangelo's David. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. How are you doing tonight, Russ?
Hello! Hello!
Oh God, you're going to have offended half the population with that. Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's go with that intro, however you say.
I've wanted to do that for weeks.
You're quite right. I mean, I prefer my hello, to be honest, rather than hello, hello. But yeah, how about you? How was your game week last week?
Yeah, back on the card trail, finally. And just like buses, they've come along in threes.
I don't think you get buses in threes just now, though, with the lack of drivers, to be honest. maybe a couple of years ago you perhaps could have. But yeah, no, I did see that the start of the European season has come, and so did the prizes for you, Russ. I've seen, obviously, quite a hefty prize in Champion America and a couple of limited ones.
Yeah, just narrowly missed the Tier 2s, which was a wee bit of a pain in the posterior. Dropped out. I was sitting all the way until the morning final like review update. Sitting 79th, thought, yeah, nailed it. And there I went and finished, I think it was 81st. So, yeah, do you know what? Hey, when you're not winning cards, or if you're one of the guys that's only been playing the game for a few months and you're sitting there waiting to win that first card and you've hit the post a few times, it's so frustrating. So, yeah, for me, I was just glad just to get something back. It's a 42-year-old goalkeeper that I was given as a reward. He is playing, but, yeah, an interesting one, and he's currently up for sale.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Actually, you sent me that over saying that it was a playing goalkeeper, and I was like, wait a minute. If you're at the bottom end of the Tier 2s, which you were when I looked, I didn't see that you'd actually dropped into 3. But being at the bottom end of the Tier 2s, I'm actually looking at it right now, and that card at his price is worth more than anybody above you. The next one, let's have a see. Yeah, so 42nd got one that was slightly higher than your price. All the way up to even 24th had less than what you got. So yeah, you got a not bad price, to be fair, in that one. And yeah, I hope he does sell. He sounds like he's going to be drawing his pension soon. If he's anything like me in the sticks, be a fine salmon. I'm just a wee bit short for that. But yeah, you know, many a fine tune was played on an old fiddle, Russ, as you would know.
Well, absolutely. So we've got to be grateful. Got picked up a couple of limited cards as well this week. That's been overdue, because I have invested quite a bit more than I'd actually intended to in limiteds. Probably got carried away over the summer slightly. However, I kind of feel as though, you know, I've got quite a few of them up for sale on that now, and I'm scaling back and I'm going for quality, not quantity.
Yep.
But yeah, it was good to actually finally, I think those two are my first limited rewards, I have to confess.
I think so. I mean, I obviously, I'm as you mentioned on a message, I like a nosy. So I had a nosy at your lineups. Obviously, Surrey Data app, I always kind of check on a select group of people to have a look and see what's what. And I did notice that you were on for them. And each week I've looked at your lineups and I'm like, why hasn't he just spent 20 quid and got a playing goalkeeper? Or why hasn't he just spent, like, you know, 5 quid and got a starting midfielder? Because it's like, these teams could be not bad if he just bought one extra card and got it in there. So to finally see a couple of rewards, it was pretty decent. So I myself, obviously, it was my first week with my rares. And I only had the team in All-Star. And to be honest, I was going to be happy if I got through the higher threshold. And I did quite comfortably. I think it was 280-odd points. So that was 0.035, I think, we got yesterday, which was, I was very happy with that, because ETH went back up again today. So instead of getting, you know, I think it was 40 quid, it's actually turned out to be closer to kind of 45 now. So happy days on that front. My limit teams, the previous week, I think maybe I mentioned it on last week's podcast, Russ, about the fact that my Austrian lads had scored, what was it, 16 or 16 of the players had all scored goals in the cup. And sure as fate, the first week of the game week, it was a disaster for most. They all played 29 out of 29 starters. I can't complain about that, but it was very mediocre across the board from them. So I missed out on prizes, and it was all ones where if I had a decisive, I would have been through into prizes. But hey-ho, one of these things. Like you, I've went from quantity down to quality. I sat my trusty notepad and pen the other day and I went through and I kind of tried to depth chart, like, who do I want to keep? What do I want to sell? And then over the course of kind of Monday and Tuesday, I sold almost like 0.28 worth of limited cards. And I think there was one or two rares in amongst that, but it was, wasn't great value ones. But it allowed me to go and take out about 350 quid. I actually withdrew it. We were going to be trying to get, you know, money out by the end of the month anyway. I've still got plans of doing that for some more rares over the next few days. But yeah, I've went with some decent quality, I think. I think some very strong quality in various teams. And it's just going to be one of those where you kind of hope it all comes together, eh?
Yeah. Any observations from your, you know, from the game week that's just passed there? Any star performance? I know I've got, you know, quite a few just after you, though.
Yeah, Marcus Pink got back on the score sheet again. I was happy to see that. That was a late kind of consolation goal, but it was one of those where it gave me, I had him captained and he scored 93 points for me from that. I also had him in limited, so that was 70-odd points I got on that one from him. One of the players who I didn't use, he actually came off the bench for the assist for that goal for Marcus Pink. I'd spent 16 quid on him a few weeks ago and then sold him for about 45 the other day. So happy enough with that. You know, it was nice to be profit just to kind of put towards the funds to take out. Beyond that, to be honest, there wasn't a lot of what you would call star performers. One who did get a goal, I'd sold him on the morning. It was maybe 10 minutes before the deadline. And that was my expensive limited striker, Sarkaria from Sturm Graz. Sold him minutes before, made 70 quid on the sale from what I'd bought him from. And then I waited until after he scored the goal. I went and had a look and his price had come down. I sent somebody an offer and I got him back for about 40 quid less than I sold him on Friday morning. So He's back in the squad and back in the lineup. So yeah, Manpreet Sarkaria. I think he's going to be a very key performer for Sturm Graz this season. So that was my only major one, to be perfectly honest. Was there any standouts for you? Or
yeah, just obviously been trying to keep an eye on the guys that we've been recommending on the pod.
Uh-huh.
Certainly over the last probably seven to eight weeks, because obviously they're the more recent ones and the ones that hopefully guys have invested in. A couple of players that I'd mentioned, the one was maybe about 7 or 8 weeks, Ali Golazade, mm-hmm. Obviously playing in the Jupiler, and he scored 98 points at the weekend. Marcelo Silva continues to do well. I've mentioned that a few times, but, you know, another 64 from him this game week. A couple of the guys that we did, the 10 Austrians and the 10 Russians.
Yep.
Almost, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I think it would have been.
Yeah. So Roman Zobnin got a 96 at the weekend. He plays every week. I mentioned him as a good one for probably thresholding a bit more. Vyacheslav Krotov continues to perform and get green scores. It wasn't a huge score, but he still got a 46 this week. And Victor Moses, that I also mentioned on the pod, he got, I think it was a 64. That along with probably got a wee bit of a boost. Dimitri, I think it's Zivogladiov is how you pronounce him. And I've got the super rare of him. Mm-hmm. And I've had him listed, to be honest with you, most of the summer for sale. At a small profit. You know, you're talking like 25% profit is all I've been kind of looking for.
Yeah.
And I've actually unlisted him. Given the news of the Matrix, which I know that we'll go into soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, he scored 75 as a super rare for me.
Excellent.
I had a few out of the competitions that I, you know, obviously went in for at the weekend. I had a few that just were like quite narrow and near misses that, you know, got more than 300 points and just didn't get cards. So yeah, trying to keep a track on all the players that we're recommending and stuff. Maybe in a couple of weeks do a full rundown and maybe get the top 10 from each of us. Sounds over the last week, so maybe look back over it and give a bit of a stats analysis. But that's about it for the game week for me.
I should probably have done something like that too. Baby brain, couldn't it be arsed? Whichever one you want to pick. There's one of those. But no, I've just found my list on my other pad I've got sat here. So I will do that ahead of next week. I'll give the Austrians a couple of weeks to try and redeem themselves after having a good cup games but poor league games. So yeah, it's been good. I'm looking forward to this weekend, though. I've got 9 teams, including my casual team, but I have 9 teams at the moment all entered, which I'm quite pleased with. I'm looking forward to this. I've got 3 rare teams. and I have five limited teams, and then obviously, as I mentioned, the casual one, just because you can do it. How about yourself? Is there any, before I kind of glance over mine, is there any competitions, the new ones? Obviously, the Scottish League being back is going to be a big one for both of us, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't built the teams for the coming game week yet. And obviously,
I jumped on mine's about 5 minutes past 11 just because the Scottish players were back. I was like, yes! I was like, do you know what? Actually, not even that. I was speaking to Adam Carter on Facebook, and I sent him a message just saying, here, this is what my lineups are looking at for the weekend. And it was, I don't know, it wasn't even the deadline yet, because I was doing them on the midweek one. So if you go on Surveyor Data and look at my teams, you'll get a rough idea of what my teams are going to be looking like for the weekend, because I actually entered them in on Tuesday, even though none of them had games, but I was just trying to plot them out and get the graphics and stuff. So yeah, I had a look at the games that I've got coming up. I've got some very favourable games. My main one that I'm quite excited about, and I think I spoke to you about it offline, was my Challenger Europe one. I've got three players from my old faithful Riyadh players, but they're actually at home to the newly promoted side. So I'm hopeful that they could carry on their pretty strong performance against Rapid Vienna. They did lose 1-0, but Sahin Radlinger was actually the goalkeeper in the team of the week from the Bundesliga. So I was happy with that. I've also got your Ryan Edwards at the back, and then I've got Marcus Pink up top with that one. So I'm actually quite excited about that one. And my other strongest one, I'm kind of excited about the limited under 23s because I've got two Hibs lads in there. And then my Challenger Europe, I went with a Hearts attacking stack of, actually I've got a defensive player in there as well, Stephen Kingsley, Alan Forrest and Lauren Shankland. I can't believe I've got Lauren Shankland in a lineup, but I actually feel he might get some service and maybe could take one or two of the chances. I did see, obviously, the friendly at the weekend. He scored two goals there, so that must have had you chugging away in your pants.
Certainly didn't, but what did amuse me was I believe there was a chance, you know, circling round Tynecastle for most of that game with Scotland get battered everywhere you go, obviously, where they were 1-0 down. But no, it was for me, it's an interesting one. Obviously, Shankland, ex-United, he should in theory do well. We've mentioned it many times in the podcast. He'll probably get the best service he's had, certainly better than he got at Aberdeen, where he didn't get much opportunities, and better than at Dundee United as well. It'll be interesting. His value's gone up. I know a couple of guys that I've been speaking to sort of firsthand that have sold rares this week of them. So one of the guys that I know sold them for 0.25. I think it was maybe around about Tuesday.
Right.
He sold for 0.299 with one of the managers that I speak to regularly. Godfrey Goat sold his for 0.299. I think it was about Thursday. Sorry, not Thursday. It would have been Monday. So yeah, he is going up in price, which is interesting.
I can see that just now. Yours is actually the cheapest on the market at £440 just now. And even in the limiteds, I picked them up for about £16. I think I maybe got them for £15-16. The cheapest limited on the market, and these have been selling at this price, £44, mate.
Really?
I had to toy with the idea that I had both. I sat when I did my depth chart, I was only going to keep one of Boyce or Shankland because of their prices. And I was trying to decide, like, I think Shankland will get more of the goals, to be honest. I think Boyce will be involved. And whether he's the second last pass or the last pass is the key part of it. Does he play the ball out wide for somebody to whip it in for Shankland to score or what have you? So I ended up, I let Boyce go and I kept Shankland. And it's one of those where it's like, well, do I cash in the £40? Because that's £30 profit on a limited card. There's still £30. Do you know what I mean? So, I've kept him because I think in the long run, I actually think hopefully he can regain his form of the Championship as opposed to, and maybe prove me wrong for, you know, scoring in the top flight, because he's never really done it, as I've harped on many a time about. Also when United had him, he didn't have the service, did he? United ended up selling their only winger to Dundee.
The other thing to consider as well is that, in truth, you know what, there was only two or three scorers that hit, you know, sort of double figures in the Scottish League last season. And he hit, I think it was nine the last time he was in the league. I think Hearts will be very strong. We've mentioned that again a number of times. I can't wait for it all to get started, because it really will hopefully start to put a pattern out. I think one of the key things that will probably affect, and it's probably one of the things that we should really touch on, is the information of the new Matrix.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will affect a lot of the cards.
Absolutely. So, obviously, if you've not seen it already, imagine you will, or you've probably been under a rock, but Sorare announced that from game week 300, which is in 4 weeks' time, they will be launching a new scoring matrix. And yeah, so Tuesday, August the 26th is when this will come into effect, it says on the memo. And it's on the homepage, if you can find the homepage on the website, which seems like an absurd thing to say. If you can find the homepage, it's on there. It gives you a link to their article pages. And yeah, so quite a few changes on there, Russ. We could probably go through them position by position, but at a glance, I had a quick look at my players and I found one that had a drastic effect on, and I found most are within a point or 2 points either way. Some have slightly gone down, some have slightly gone up, but I did have one that exploded. He gets an extra 10 points on his last five, and I think it's last 15-7, and then it's another five on his last 40, and that was Scott Tanzer, and no surprise, attacking fullback. So yeah, it does look as though the attacking fullbacks are the big winners out of this. Not all fullbacks, because I have looked through the entire Scottish Premier League, for example, at every fullback, and a lot of them are a point here and a point there. They're not terribly different. But those are the ones where it tends to be more of a defensive fullback, Russ, I would probably say. But when you look at some of the boys like Nicky Devlin or Scott Tanzer or what have you, it is the more attacking boys that are either on corners, they're getting crosses in, that kind of thing, that are benefiting from it. So
I think a massive factor as well is the difference between teams playing four at the back and five at the back. Because obviously, yes, if you're playing five at the back, then, so for example, Scott Tanzer, St Mirren, played a three central last year with Fraser, Shaughnessy and Conor McCarthy. And then obviously Tanzer was able to play left back, whereas beforehand, when he was at St Johnston, they would differentiate between either a five or a four.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll really depend on. I would say that if you are looking at the fullbacks, and as you know, I was a massive fullback fan before the last change, and you know, just off the top of my head, that was probably the fullbacks were the cards that actually started winning me prizes, if I remember, and it was like Conor Erkin was a favourite.
That was a huge favourite.
Yeah, and Django Warmerdam and all these guys that I spoke, you know, at depth and at length to anybody that would listen, and most people went, you know, who are these guys? However, they were Matrix monsters.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was actually Conor Erkin wasn't one that I initially discovered myself. I think it was Duncan Disorderly from over in the States that he'd mentioned him to me, go and have a look at him, and wow, his scores were amazing. So I'm now thinking there could be quite a few of these guys. Now, a few of them are like 2 or 3 years older, and some of these fullbacks are in their 30s, but there will be certainly some really exciting fullbacks probably come to prominence this year. And there'll be some that obviously, like you say, there'll be very little change because they play a four at the back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking for teams that play three central defenders and two attacking sort of wing backs as opposed to full backs, and yeah, they should in theory be good cards.
It should definitely be. I mean, I've had a look at the article here, and the first main one is that they said we received feedback on decisive scores, and they put that it's questionable that in a negative decisive actions, it's questionable the way negative decisive actions were scored. It is contradictory to the stack positive decisive actions. So obviously, if your player scores one goal, you got the first stage of the decisive, so you went up to 60 points if they scored a goal. If they scored another one, you then go up to 70. If they scored another one, you go up to 80, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if your goalkeeper gave away a penalty, conceded three, you know, got red carded, the lowest his base points, his decisive points would go to, would be 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem entirely right, where a team could take six goals, but the goalkeeper still scores 15 points, or because he's had a couple of saves, 20 points, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't seem right. So now those negative ones can stack up to the point where they then get a zero for their, you know, for the decisive score, which is, in fairness, probably how it should have always been, really.
There'll be a few keepers in trouble that you could see kind of plummet. And like, obviously, you can't predict the future. But if we think maybe just looking back the way when guys like, say, Premislav Titan was in the goal for Cincinnati, and they were shipping fours and fives. And, you know, even guys like, more laterally, guys like Lamprou and Eredivisie and other goalkeepers that were just, you know, Van Osch went through a period as well that he were just shipping. And also, you know, they were getting replaced by number twos getting an opportunity to get a couple of games, and then they were shipping goals and the number one was getting back in. So this could actually, I think it will have quite an interesting effect. I don't know how, but I think it will have quite an interesting effect on the goalkeeper pricing within the markets.
It's one of those, because I've had a look and I've seen most of the goalkeepers are, I mean, I'll give you an example, because I'm looking at him right now, was my under 23 goalkeeper, Guillaume Deitch, who obviously plays for Serang, who are probably the weakest team or one of the weakest teams in Belgium. But having a look at his score on the current matrix and on the new matrix, it's identical, apart from his last 40 goes from 38 under the current scoring to 37 under the new scoring. But his 5 and 15 are exactly the same. They've not changed. And that's obviously a team that do concede goals, but he gets a lot of saves. So that's going to counteract some of these things, because the saves inside the box, for example, have gone up. So there are players like that. But the one thing that you're going to find, and this, I said this to somebody earlier on in the day, because somebody asked me about goalkeepers, who'd you recommend for whatever? And I was like, well, to be honest, it's hard to say just now, because with the matrix changing, teams that are playing the ball out from the back and the goalkeeper passing the ball quite a lot, you're going to start to counteract, you know, like the missed passes, for example, and things like that, because now they've always scored zero for an accurate pass for the goalkeeper, which seems absurd, because they get penalised for it, but they weren't getting praised for it as such. Do you know what I mean? It just seems ludicrous. So now you're getting 0.1 for a, you know, for an accurate pass, and 0.5 for an accurate final third pass. So I was having a look at that, and I went and had a look, and one that I thought off the top of my head, because I watched them, and I, you know, I'm actually wearing my Considol top just now, was my old friend, and I say old in the best terms, Sugeno. He's actually jumped up 3 points on his last five because of the passes. Because he's up at the halfway line spraying passes about all the time. So it's those kind of goalkeepers. If you can find the teams that are playing the ball out from the back, you're probably going to find those goalkeepers are going to increase somewhat. The goalkeepers that are under pressure at the bottom of the league, they're going to ship goals, which is going to hurt them, because you're now losing 3 points when they concede, as well as losing your clean sheet bonus. So it's going to be interesting. But again, as I say, that being counteracted with a goalkeeper having like Deitch at the weekend, I think he had 5 saves inside the box and 6 saves overall, I think it was. So that would have counteracted him conceding, you know, quite considerably.
How about just, and this isn't obviously preempted or whatever, but if you've got, you know, you've got that open at the moment, I'll just give you three keepers, different leagues.
Sure.
And just you can just give us an effect, because obviously these are keepers that will be really commonly used within the listeners. So
yeah, let's go.
Eloy Room at Columbus Crew. What's the effect on him?
Eloy Room. Let's have a look here then. Right. So Eloy Room, his last 5 at the moment is 52.
Yeah.
And his last 40. I'm not going to count the 15. I'll just give current and longer term.
Yeah.
52 for his last 5 and 45 for his last 40. He goes up 2 points for his last 5. Goes up to 54. And the longer term for the last 40 actually goes down 1 point. He goes down to 44.
Okay. How about Igor Akinfeev, a favourite of mine and a favourite of many people I know?
He's another one on your bedroom wall. I am very well aware of this.
Absolutely.
Right. Currently, last 5 of 60, last 40 of 51. Under the new matrix, however, his last 5 is 63. His last 40 jumps up to 52. As did his last 15, interestingly. So 1 point boost, but 3 points for his last 5. So again, that could have been maybe a game where he's had more saves than normal or what have
you. He's just had an assist last week, to be fair. Set up a goal. That's obviously quite a good one. And again, just this one's probably out of a lot of people's budget, but let's just pick an under 23 keeper. So what about Martin van der Voort?
Martin van der Voort. Right, it'd be a bit of the darts for the boys. Right, he suffers. So his last 5 is 32 and his last 40 is 44. His last 5 goes down to 30 His last 40 stays at 44.
Right, okay. So he's overrated anyway. It's massively overrated. Yeah, overpriced and overrated.
It's not a huge difference. As I say, I mean, if I go back and look at Segeno, for example, 47 for his last five and 51 for his last 40, he jumps up to 50 and 52. So, you know what? The last five are going up by 3 points. So you could see some of the players that I knew that one off the top of my head from watching them. And if you look at his heat map on SofaScore, you'll see he spends most of his time roughly about the halfway line, and you wonder how they concede so many goals, right enough. But it's not drastic, but on any given game week, it could have a big impact on you. Do you know what I mean? If you've got a starting goalkeeper, you were always banked on probably getting the 15 points in fairness, Russ, you know, worst case scenario. Now, that's not the case. If your keeper's conceding six, you're going to score zero. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how it does pan out on that one. Moving on to the defenders just briefly, obviously that was the big one that everybody had to use a Scottish term, a stoner about, which was the fullbacks. Obviously, we've always been something we spoke about, and you mentioned it just there, getting the lower scores. What they've actually done is they've reduced the penalty for lost possession from 1 point to 0.6. So that's gone down by 40%. And that'll be massive for the fullbacks, because you can get games where you'll see them losing the ball or supposedly losing possession like 25, 30 times. I've seen that for some players.
Yeah, and, 0.5.
And sorry?
It was 0.5 when we first joined the game. So they've not quite taken it all the way back, but, you know, they've just marginally put it 20% up then.
Yeah, it's pretty close. And it's, I had a look through my own team when I seen the Sarir data. And if you haven't looked at Sarir data, they've got a button you can just press and it switches the matrix from current to new. And also another one is tactic.so. They have a whole section which just says new scoring matrix effects. You can click on it and it brings up every single player that's been affected by it. And it's only for defenders and midfielders on there just now, but they're working on it for the rest of them. The highest all-around score that's been affected was Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's been up +7. And then Lautaro Blanco, an old Russ favourite, and I also had him just up until a couple of weeks ago, he's actually gone up +6. So they're the two biggest beneficiaries. But right underneath that, I've got Scott Tanzer from St Mirren, who I know takes the corners from them. I think he took about 13 or 14 when we played them. Dundee played them at the end of last season. And that game, he scored 26 points, even though he was involved in a lot. Because every time he was taking a corner and a Dundee defender was heading away, it counts as lost possession. You know, so, but now it's going to be significantly reduced. And also those then become attempted assists if they're connected with. And that's been increased to 3 points
as well. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, he's went up, his last five went up 10 points, mate. And I think it made me go, you know, I still had him listed and he sold. And then I managed to go and buy another one because I was like, no way, when this has just happened that I've done that. And I just didn't realize I still had him listed. So call it baby brain again. And we both talked about the midfielders and forwards. The forwards haven't really been adjusted too much. They're getting points for interceptions now. And the duels won and lost have kind of gone from 0.5 in either direction to 1 in either direction, be it minus or positive. But the defensive midfielders seem to be slightly more weighted. I did see that the midfielder I've got, the under-23, Bronnodder, he's actually gone up about 2 or 3 points on his all-around score. So for an under-23, that was quite big for me. But yeah, it's worth having a look at. It's going to take time to kind of see it filter out. But if you do want to have a look at it, as I say, tactic.so, you'll see all the players there. You can actually filter it by your own gallery, which is how I actually saw Cammy Kerr of Dundee would have been a +5 as well. But you can go in there and you'll see that. It's well worth having a look at. It's one of these ones, it's a standalone app, but it does ask you to log into your Sarir account. And it's, as far as I know, perfectly safe, but use it at your own risk. And I think that's well worth having a look at, Russ.
Yeah, it's also, I'm just trying to remind myself where it was on the Sarir site, but if you go into the footer, you can just click on the blog and it comes up on the blog article as well, which is where I'm currently looking at it at the moment.
It's trying to find things. That was the other thing. I mean, obviously, we talked about it last week. There'll be more changes this week. If you've got more than one page of players, now you can't just click on page 4 automatically. You've got to click through multiple pages and wait on them loading. And whose idea was that? Things have become more difficult, and that really needs addressed. It really, really does.
Yeah, I think I gave it quite a lenient time now. Obviously, I hadn't used it much last week, and I just, you know, I liked the visual look initially, but yeah, having actually used the site in the last week, yeah, is it slightly off putting? And there has to just be an immediate button on the homepage where you can go to your listings. You know, you shouldn't be clicking through it. It's the marketplace. It's what generates all the bloody money in the game. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you want to know.
Some boys couldn't even find their own club. Yeah. Because sometimes when you're on your phone, the menu disappears on the side. So you can't even find your club. The only way they were finding it was by clicking on the spyglass and searching for their team. That shouldn't be the case. Do you know what I mean? That just shouldn't be the case. So I'm not going to harp on about it too much. I have harped about it on Facebook, on Twitter. And, you know, it is what it is at the moment. Hopefully they can continue addressing that and moving that on. But yeah, I think that overall, I think the Matrix will be positive. It will take a bit of time. I've seen some people saying, oh, but I've built my team and I've built it on the basis of this. Have a look at it, guys. It's a point each way. It's not massive. And if you're sitting there pissing your frillies about it, you're probably in the wrong game, to be honest. Eh? So things change all the time. You just need to go with it and build around it. So moving on from there, Russ, obviously this is now us into a common free zone when it comes to the rare competitions. From, you know, I think it's actually from midweek here, but certainly from the weekend when it's going to affect most people. Mm-hmm. And it has had an impact to look, you know, on the numbers. If you want, whenever you listen to this, you're going to have a look at the numbers of entries into leagues and things. But it has had a wee bit of a knock-on effect into that. And it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds as time goes on, I guess.
Yeah, I think the initial impact will be there'll be less people playing in rare.
Yeah.
We had a little discussion shortly before coming on the podcast about the changes to whether compensate's the right word, but maybe alleviate the pain by having the underdog rare competition now where you can use a common keeper.
Yeah.
But there's no eth threshold with that, and the prizes are a fair bit less. I think, was it 45 you said?
45 is all it is, but I think there's about 1,800 in it so far.
Well, that's where these guys have got to. If you're playing with a common keeper, that's where you've got to move to for now.
Yeah, totally. In fact, actually, I underestimated it. It's 2,273 entries for 45 prizes there. So that might be something that they might have to look at, even if they're just putting in, like, you know, low DNP cards or something like that to kind of bolster that, because that's what, 2%? Is it even 2%? No, 0.2%? I don't even know. You know what my maths is? I've got an accountancy degree and I can't even fucking count today. But yeah, there's over 2,000 entries and there's only 45 prizes. But yeah, you can obviously enter there. As we've discussed before, you could certainly still put a team in if you've at least bought a DNP goalkeeper. You could still get a team into the All-Star. And if you've got good enough outfield players to try and still be able to achieve the threshold payment, even if it's a lower one, because now that it's pinned, you know, you're still basically getting, what was it, $25, which is, what, roughly 20 quid? So, and that's better that than a kick in the teeth, you know. So, but on the flip side, for newcomers, the underdog, even the underdog limited, you can use, you know, a common card in there, which you could, you know, take away the goalkeeper, for example, and then build a team for 15, 20 quid and actually be able to enter it into the underdog competition and try and win, you know, a decent prize out of that. So there are, you know, there are two sides to it. I mean, obviously, I've had a couple of offers for goalkeepers that I didn't even have listed. And I've had messages on Discord asking me about goalkeepers that I don't even have listed. So I ended up actually banged up Liam Kelly for about 1,500 quid. And I'm still getting offers coming in at like 900. There was one there just for 900 quid, which seems ludicrous to me that I'm pressing a reject button on the £900 offer for a digital card. Still seems absolutely ludicrous to me, but I've just done it. So it was 850 earlier, and that was one there for nine. So, but yeah, I think the prices are driving up, and we're coming into that stage now where people are going to, you know, if you want to try and win the higher one or you want to try and win prizes, you need it. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of rolls in the future. But I think you had a couple of goalkeepers where you were looking at number ones and number twos, Russ, where the prices were at a reasonable level, perhaps, for some.
Yeah, like everything else. Obviously, when one door opens, others close, and when others close, others open. I did a little bit of research, and it was just for a friend that had asked for a little bit of help. And obviously we're into the European, all the excitement is around the European. We've seen a not quite the surge that we had in 2021, but we have seen an uplift. I don't know, maybe somewhere between, 10 and 20% in the prices for European cards. And with that, the keepers, like you say, they've become in demand. They're all at the start of a sort of 34 to 40 sort of week, season coming up. So they've got a lot of game time and a lot of utility, and guys are obviously planning around that. However, one of the things that we've both noticed, and I know you certainly have noticed it, and you'll probably touch on it nearer the end of the pod with in relation to the Asian players, but mm-hmm. I had a look at the American goalkeepers. And the reason that we done this was that I've got a friend, he has been stung a couple of times with a couple of keepers. He had Van Hamel, and he's had other goalkeepers that have lost the shirt. And he was looking at trying to get basically two teams out again, and arguably three with one in the underdog. He's got enough players. I think he's got about 30-odd, 40-odd players in the gallery. So what we did was we did a little exercise where we looked at the number one and the number two. I'm a firm believer in, if it's affordable, getting both the keepers, just to give yourself that cover and to cover yourself with injury and suspension so that you've always got one playing. And one of the other things that I like to do when I do have this, and I'm short of keepers for, say, extra competitions or the super rare, the pro, the mixture of rare, and super rare, is I often use the number two goalkeeper just in case the number one's dropped. Then at least I'll maybe have like five playing players in the upper competition.
Yeah.
It's a tough ask. It is a hard ask. But you know what? It's just, it almost feels like a safety net for me. So without further ado, I'll just look at some of the bargains and then some of the ones that I just thought were just extortionate. So I looked at Colorado Rapids, and you can get Bill Yarborough and Clint Irwin for 0.52 at the moment, which I think is pretty good for getting two keepers and assuring yourself, game time.
Yeah.
You can get the Houston duo of Mike Nelson, who's number two at the moment, and Steve Clark, that was at Portland before.
Yep.
You can get those two for 0.48, which is that sub 0.5 at the moment, which in comparison to, yourself, the European keepers of, they're all one ETH and more, almost.
Yep, definitely.
Another one, this one comes with a risk and a bit of a health warning. You can get Joe Willis at Nashville, but the number two at the moment is a lad called, I think it's Panicio, you pronounce it. He's not got a card, but you can get Joe Willis for 0.4. One of the other ones that I've seen that I thought was quite good, and the one that he actually opted for, was Eloy Room, who we mentioned earlier there just in the scores, and Evan Bush. And the two of them are coming in at about 0.57 at the moment. It is a little bit more expensive, but I've got Eloy Room myself in both Limited and Rare form, and I just find that he's a really safe number one, and Evan Bush comes in at pennies for the Limited, and I think it's maybe about £30 for the rare for number two. I think that's decent value, and it gives me peace of mind. On the flip side of the coin, a couple of Americans ones are still really, really high. Andre Blake at Philadelphia, to get him and Joe Bendick, you're 1.5 ETH at the moment for those. So you're not getting a bargain there. Sean Johnson at New York, the goalkeeper there, him and Louis Baratza, they're coming in at about 1.2, 1.3. So that's the kind of the negative. A couple of the only other things that I noticed were, I think there was one other team that didn't have a goalkeeper. It escapes me for now. It was New England, don't have the current number one. So you can get Brad Knighton if you so wish, but I don't know if he'll get back in it. I wouldn't expect so. You'll get him for like 0.04 ETH, which maybe if you are looking just for to pick up a rare card with no budget at all, but you don't even have 0.1, he could maybe perhaps get a few more games this season. It will not be anything exciting, but it might give you that fifth card on a few of the game weeks. So yeah, it was a worthwhile exercise. It actually opened my eyes just to some of the prices. It's like everything else. We've been buying... both of us have been buying, I think it's fair to say. April, May, lots of European cards. Stock.
Yep. Stock. Yep. No, absolutely. That was what we did. I think it makes sense because when it comes towards the end of the seasons, And we'll probably get onto that. I mean, even when I touch on the Asia stuff, it's once you get into that cycle where it's coming towards the end of the season, boys start selling out their cards for you know, right now, there's still people selling out of like so Asia or the MLS or South America, wherever, and are trying to buy into these European cards that are already increasing. And that's what's having a huge effect on some of these prices. I spoke to Russ just before I came on and I said, look, I'm sat with a wee bit of a balance. I did a withdrawal yesterday and the day before. And I was like, I've got a wee bit of a balance here. And I'm thinking, do you know what? I might actually go and buy an Asia team because they're so cheap. And I went and had a look again. And I've actually got them on my phone here just now. But you're picking up limited starting goalkeepers for 30 quid or less. So if you don't want to have the huge expense of going to buy a goalkeeper, you can buy one now. They've got 12 games left in their season. Hold them over the winter. And you know fine well that come February, March, right before the start of their season again, those prices will go through the roof. Because that's what I did at the start of this year. Because I had all those boys that I picked up in October, November time, Russ, all my Considole lads, Raceall boys and what have you. And then I sold them all. As you can hear back, I think maybe episode 5 or 6, where I sold them all out. And I made huge amount of profit on them, not to blow my own trumpet, but toot. It was one of those where I did just make a fair bit of money. And that then allowed me to reinvest that into buying a second goalkeeper again for Europe and sitting on the European cards for a few weeks. And it meant I've had no e-threshold team to play for, 7, 8 weeks, something like that. But I meant I was in a good position come now to have two good teams, one that I could comfortably put in the threshold and think I should hit the threshold, be it lower or higher. And then the other one, I'm like, right, okay, I want to put my best team in a Challenger Europe to see if I can start pulling in cards. Because I've said to you, Russ, if I don't start pulling in cards from that one within, say, a month or so, maybe I'll give it 6 weeks with the new matrix, I'm going to sell one of those teams out and I'm just going to play with a threshold team. And I'm going to keep my limited teams because I have great fun with those, because they're not, I don't have to think, right, oh God, that player's just broke his leg and he's done for the season. I've lost 300 quid in value. I've probably lost 20 quid. Now, don't get me wrong, 20 quid's 20 quid. It'll get you a quarter tank of petrol at this point. But it's, you know, it's still money. But it's not the same worry of loss that we've can not necessarily worry of loss. Yeah, it's worry of loss. To be honest, it's worry of loss that a £300 card becomes 50 quid. You know, because somebody's tore their knee on an artificial surface in the States or whatever, you know. So I'm quite keen on maybe even going ahead and picking up an extra Asia limited team because the prices are so weak. I mean, Russ, some of the names, you'll even know them because I know you're not a huge fan of that league, but you've got obviously Sugeno, my hero. I've got a poster of him on my bedroom wall. Ikura from Vissel Kobe, Higashiguchi. And now, granted, a lot of these boys are in their 30s now, but even Langerick, the boy from Nagoya, I think you had him earlier in the year.
You're picking
him up for around 40 quid. So that's a solid card to have in your goal. Last 5, 45, last 15, 49. He has missed a game. I don't know if that was injury or illness or whatever. I'd have to look into that. But 40 quid, do you know what I mean? And there's definitely a lot of bargains there to be had to put in teams to have fun with. And at the end of the day, I want to make money first and foremost, but I also want to have fun with this as well. Eh? And I think that's why the Scottish card's coming back this weekend. It's going to be tremendous fun. I'll be sitting at Dens Park watching a Dundee game in the lower tier, not scoring anything on the matrix, so I can't be secretly happy when the opposition score, but I can certainly be keeping an eye on SofaScore or wherever to see what's happening in my other games. It's going to be, I'm actually really looking forward to it, Russ. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward just to actually having so much of my gallery available for selection. Yes. You know, sitting with that sort of gallery over the summer, and I'll be honest, I hit the post so many times, it was actually quite deflating, just with the unexpected DNPs, not even ones where, you know, where you're thinking, right, do you know what, sometimes you do miss a game. I really did pick up as many guys as possible. I played like 30 out of the last 30, and I was still getting hit. And then this week, I actually came into this game week there just past that I have won 3 cards with no expectation. I was so deflated with the summer sort of progress. I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to win anything, so I'm not even going to look at it. And then obviously I was like, oh, you know, you're sitting there and you're sitting in the the double figures. You're like, right, okay. So for me, I think one of the key things is the cycle effect that we just mentioned there with the buying and selling. Me, myself, I will start to buy probably within the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks, what I class as my next stock, which, like you, I'll probably run a few of the Asian names past you, and I'll certainly buy some MLS cards that I notice are, you know, they're starting to really sort of plummet.
Yeah.
And I will buy, I'll try and get, you know, maybe into the, maybe not the Hany Mukhtars of this world and things, but I certainly will try and get up a level again. What I have managed to do from last year, though, and having the cycle, and I know you're the same, is I definitely feel that I'm going into the European leagues with a much stronger, you know, sort of complement. I look at my,
oh God, yeah,
you know, I look at my Champion Europe, which is probably, I've only got one team in Champion Europe. However, the options I've got this year, where, you know, last year, Carlos Soler, for example, was in my global, and that's where he had to be. And he had to be there, and he had to be there alongside, say, Ordet's a challenger card, and Cabela, who was a challenger card. And don't get me wrong, it did win me cards, and it always won me the threshold. But now Carlos Soler doesn't have even the guarantee of getting in any of my two global teams. I'm looking and going, well, I can play him, and I can play, you know, Juanmi at Betis, and Gini, the captain at Getafe. I've also got Borja Mayoral, who's looking like he's a way to move from Real Madrid. I think he's in talks with Getafe at the moment right now. I do have him up for sale. I might have to unlist him if that goes through, because I might sell him too cheap. But I'm just looking at the options I've got. And if I was probably scoring myself at maybe a 5 out of 10 out with the challenger, you know, so I'm looking at my MLS going, it's probably a 5 or a 6 out of 10 strength-wise. I genuinely now feel I'm getting nearer that 7 or 8. I'm not at the elite level that the guys that were the early adopters and the guys that have ploughed, you know, thousands of pounds of cash into this are, but I'm pretty comfortable in the fact that I'm stake or risk-free. All my money's out. You know, I've had a lot more money out of the game than I've had in.
Yeah.
And with even with that prize that I have won, and don't get me wrong, I was disappointed when the fact, not the fact that it was a keeper that's playing, it was the fact that he was 42. I'm looking going, oh God, could be a retirement risk. But at the end of the day, that could be, say, £200, £250 that I can very easily take out the platform. And, you know, I think there's a lot of the people, obviously, that listen to pods and things, they're doing it from a, they're almost cheating, but surreal. Maybe like as much as a football club, but like a little bit of their own little business, like a side, you know, side earnings, side income. Would that be fair to say?
I think so, but I also still think there's a stigma about taking money out. I'm not. It's going to sound like a dick, and I don't actually care at this point. But there's a lot of the so-called influencers and the big guys and what have you. They just always, all their videos are ever about, and all their posts are ever about is plowing money in. I make a lot of posts, and I try to make a point of it when I'm taking the money out. And it's not to be Billy Big Boss or anything like that. I mean, I took a 350 quid and it was, I wanted to buy a play gym for my daughter. And I seen one in the shop and I was like, do you know what? I don't get paid till Friday. So I can go and just whip some money out of Syria and go and buy it. And it's things like that that's been helpful to me as a, you know, just from a family point of view. But I don't think there should be, you know, people are almost judged for taking money out. I mean, I had a couple of questions where it was like, oh, are you selling up or you know, whatever? I'm like, no, I'm taking out the profits. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, this is all profits. I've had, and I could go back and properly tally it, but I think I'm now very close to £4,500 that I've taken out of this. Add that to the affiliate money that I've had over the last year. I've taken a lot of money out of this platform and it's changed my life. Dramatically. I've had a holiday in Spain in February, paid for my Christmas beforehand, things like that, that whereas I would have to think, right, okay, if I do a couple of weeks overtime, I can go and buy that. If I do a couple of weeks overtime, I can go and do that. I can now look at it and go, shit, if I sell that Liam Kelly card, I could pay my rent for the next 2 months. You know what I mean? Things like that, where it's completely different. And it's all, as you say, I am so beyond stake free. It's not even funny. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I started with 300 quid. There's never been another penny beyond that. And I've taken out nearly £4,500 plus the affiliate money, probably about £8,000 total.
I think we've always been pretty open and honest about the fact that, you know, we are both affiliated with Surreal, with the platform. So we do get a small reward when people buy in the, you know, in the auction house only, not on the secondary market. But from the same point sort of token or point of view, we try and put out regular content, whether it be video, podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we do try and put as much back into the community as possible. So it's not a case of just like, you know, take.
No, not at all.
And I do, you know, I do agree with you. I'm not, you know, this is, you know, this is our podcast, and I think we'll always try and be as honest as we can. And I do see, you know, they'll all remain nameless, but I do see, you know, certain influencers, etc. And it's, I just feel it's a bit take, 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 take from the community. And I think there's a little bit of a, being honest, I think there's a little bit of a, you know, I'm an influencer, I'm a celebrity. Well, in the grand scheme of things, that's just bullshit. You're, we're all the same. We're all nobodies in reality. We're all nobodies that just enjoy a football game. And if the football game collapsed tomorrow, no one would want to know any of us in truth or listen to any of us, you know. So I'm always just very sort of mindful that, very appreciative of anybody that wants to talk and listen to the football side of things. But it is a game that has money in it. And I have seen other, you know, I've seen, well, I was part of the football index and things like that. And I'm by no means comparing football index to Surrey, et cetera. But, you know, there was periods, we were in that for years, and there was periods that that looked like the next best thing since sliced bread. And then 1 minute it wasn't there. So, yeah, I'm always kind of mindful of that. And there'll be something else that will come along in 2-3 years. There's already, you know, other NFT games and things that are coming out and things. And Surrey does seem to be doing a sort of grand scale, sort of a really good job in certainly getting engaging and getting all the sports and things involved. But I'm also mindful that it could so easily not be here next year, you know. So, yeah, that's my kind of take on it before we probably go into something more positive, like some Scottish news.
That's the thing. Like that was a positive. This is the thing that people twist the wrong way. Taking your money out and enjoying your fucking hard-earned money should be a positive. You shouldn't be judged for taking your money out of the platform. That's stupid, as far as I'm concerned. And there are people who judge you for that. And there are people who just love to throw up a video saying, I've bought this guy for $3,000. I see it all the time on Twitter. I'm going to have a wee rant, Russ, right, before we do move on. You see somebody posting up and they're like, they bang up their $3,000 team, all limiteds, by the way. And they're like, oh, what do you think of my team's chances? You're like, what do you fucking think your chances are? You're playing with the biggest fucking budget and the biggest fucking players. What do you think your chances are? Do you want everybody just to go, oh, well done you, and give you a wee pat on the head? Or do you want a wee chug or something like that? No, just, you know what? You've got your team, you're doing well, happy days, fucking toddle on. Do you know what? It's frustrating when you see that sort of thing. And that is being a Billy Big Boss and being like, oh, look, I spent $5,000 on 5 limited cards. Well, fucking good for you. Good for you. That $5,000 would do a lot for me and my family, and it would do a lot for everybody's family. So yeah, taking your money out the platform is not a bad thing, and enjoying it is even better. So that's what to do. Get to a point where you're comfortable with what you've got in the platform, and then start to take some money out and get yourself stake free. You're never going to be risk free because, as Russ said, other platforms have disappeared in the past. But if you can get yourself stake free and into a position where you've got your money out and then starting to enjoy your profits, happy days.
I think my final point, just to kind of reiterate what you've mentioned there, and I'll not go on the same rant that you have, but one of the things that I would say, you know, you're not going to get any kudos from anybody that really knows their shit about football for, you know, winning a competition with 5 Ajax or 5 Celtic cards. You do that with 5 Go Ahead Eagles cards, and you'll get the plaudits from everybody. Do you know what I mean? You know, there's just... You can do anything with money. It's the same in, you know, in pretty much all walks of life. Do you know what I mean? So, without further ado, we'll move out of rant mode.
We just said one last thing. You don't need skill to buy an Ajax stack or a Celtic stack or whoever stack. You need money. The skill is in winning competitions like Specialist, but you can't just buy your glory. It's winning prizes in those kind of competitions, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, moving on, Russ. Scottish news, I believe. Is that up next? Have we got any transfer info? Because
There's not been an awful lot. I know there's been loads and loads of rumours and things in relation to... There's been quite a few, obviously, moves with guys that don't have cards. So, you know, we've got, obviously, Yilmaz in at Rangers, and Aberdeen have made another couple of signings with Hayden Coulson and Callum Roberts as Goodwin continues to revamp that entire squad with those extra pennies he's got from Lewis Ferguson's sale. I think the three that I've noticed, obviously Shankland just signed as we were doing the pod last week, pretty much, and obviously he does have a card in the game. Gary Woods will step in and probably get a few games at Kilmarnock, fair to say.
Yeah, I think... I seen that when my son was getting his hair cut and I was sitting waiting on him. And I seen that pop in there. And obviously he's somebody that Derek McInnes, the Kilmarnock manager, will be, you know, knows well. And their first choice keeper went out injured in one of the one of the cup games. So that I think he's expected to miss a few weeks. So I would expect to see him in. If he doesn't play this week, I'll be quite surprised.
Yeah.
But I do expect to see him probably in the lineup.
I think he'll get maybe 4 or 5 weeks utility.
Probably, yeah.
And then he'll be like 50-50.
Yeah.
If, you know, if obviously there's a return from injury. It's not a keeper to go out and buy if you're looking for the whole season. And, you know, I wouldn't be going out and paying like 0.3 or 0.5 or anything like that for him. I had a wee look on the market and I thought he was quite expensive, given the fact that he is a number two. However, like you say, McInnes will know him well, and you never know. He might get the number one there. I wouldn't bet on it.
No, I think Zach Kemen will be the goalkeeper there.
Yeah, I would think so. The other one that I noticed, obviously one that's in your gallery that we kind of knew, obviously had a red cross, was Danny Mullen. But I noticed that he joined Partick, which, even as a United fan, that is definitely a downward move from Dundee. What is he thinking?
Well, he was thinking he was going to get a grandiose move, Russ, is what he thought. The comments, I believe, were he wanted to go and see what he could get better for himself, and he's ended up at Partick Thistle. So that worked out well for him. Speaking of working out well for them, I think St Johnston signed a new goalkeeper today as well. Another door closes, as you mentioned earlier on, for Xander Clark. They signed Remy Matthew from
Crystal Palace. On loan.
Yeah, on loan. And Callum Davidson said in the local press here that he is signed as the number one.
Yeah.
So he's not coming in to be Elliot Parrish's backup or even competition. He's coming in as the number one. As we'd said all along, that Elliot Parrish was not going to be the number one goalkeeper. I'm surprised he's even the number two, Russ, because they're sitting there with the Scotland under 21 international keeper.
I agree. I think Ross Sinclair, isn't it?
Yeah, Ross Sinclair.
I think he'll move up into the number two. You might see Parrish maybe going to some sort of, I don't know, maybe a coaching capacity or something, or a partial kind of role, do you think, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I know, I see him on a daily when his kid's at school, because he picks his kid up from the same school that I do my school run from. But yeah, so he does obviously, he is settled locally, so I think that's why he signed his new deal, and I do expect him probably to end up in maybe a coaching capacity. But even when he was at Dundee a couple of seasons ago, he wasn't a number one. He really isn't a number one. He's a handy backup if you've needed, you know, somebody to go in. But I don't understand the logic in putting him in and not putting Ross Sinclair in, who played admirably in the Scotland under 21 group games against Belgium and was it Denmark, I think,
was the other
one.
Indeed. Yeah.
And to not then give him an opportunity does seem a little bit strange. And it's maybe it tends to be honest, if you look at the signings that St Johnston have made, everybody's in their 30s, basically, apart from the two boys that came in today. He's signing some very old players, and it's a very aging team there as well. So maybe he's not old enough.
They've got, I noticed they signed Alex Mitchell from Millwall today because the Irish lad Dan Cleary was released today.
Yeah, family.
One player that I think will do well at St Johnston, and I was discussing this today with a guy that he basically, I think he sort of in touch with regularly with the guy that does the St Johnston podcast, and he'd said that they thought and they expect Jamie Murphy to do really well there, and I think he will. You know, he's obviously not quite sort of hit that purple patch when he was at Hibs and things, but you know, a club like St Johnston, Kilmarnock, Ross County and things, he will be one of their sort of more technical and better players there. And I think he might actually do quite well. I still think, and I know that we've got absolutely different views on this, but I think that St Johnston will become like the sort of the Inverness and Ross County way of becoming difficult to beat. They always used to be, and I know that they haven't been last season, but historically prior to that, they were a top six side for a while. And I think they may return to becoming, I don't think they're going to, you know, set the heather alight, but I do think they're going to become difficult to beat again.
I don't think it'll be under Callum Davidson, though.
I could probably agree with that.
He got knocked out of the cup competition to Annan or the fourth tier, are they not?
Yeah.
Are they not League Two? And they got knocked out of the competition to them. So I don't see hate. I mean, if I think a local term here or in Scotland certainly would be a sugarly peg. His jacket is definitely not safe and secure on that wall anymore. So I would, I think he won't be the manager. If they get in a decent one, yeah, I can agree with you. But looking at this week's fixtures, Russ, do you want to do a quick predictor for the fixtures? We'll throw in some maybe score lines. Do you want to piss some fans off or
no? No, I just predict that I'll be lying on my couch watching probably Soccer Saturday with the radio also on. So I'll have probably the radio on and I'll have Soccer Saturday on. As you know, I did my Fantasy Football League auction as well on Sunday past there. So it's all guns blazing in relation to the football. To be honest, I probably don't really care too much about the scores. I'm just going to be looking at my players in Surrey, even if they're not for my team. Obviously, I've got loads of United players and I do intend to obviously get lots of my guys in action, you know, Edwards and Harks and my super rare Clark and things like that. But no, do you know what? I'm not going to do any predictions and piss anybody off. What I will say, I will be doing the squad predictions on Play Surrey this week.
Yep.
Play Sharp, sorry. So I'll get those up, obviously, over the next couple of days. I know that, obviously, I've got most of the teams in mind, but I know that we'll probably rack our brains as well a little bit, just on a couple of things, just to get it over the line. And the other thing that I have done, which hopefully will be helpful for the community, is from a pilot perspective, I've updated the Scotland Surrey website, and two of the full reviews for the clubs, Aberdeen and Celtic, are actually live at the moment. The rest have almost been done, but I'm just needing to upload some videos. But certainly the content on the Scotland Surrey website is much more in-depth. You just have to click on the club where it says full review and you will get all the information and a lot of the things that we've discussed on the pod.
And that's scotlandsurrey.co.uk.
It sure is.
.co.uk. Make sure you follow that one. Excellent. Yeah, well, I mean, the only big things I'm looking forward to are I'm hoping Hearts demolish Ross County because I do have a fair few Hearts players. And I left out Bruce Anderson from my lineups because they're at home to Rangers, and I've left out Ross McCrory because they're away to Celtic. So two players I was really looking forward to using, I've not got them in week one lineups, apart from I have actually got Ross McCrory in my underdog one because I was just filling out a team, to be honest, with that one. But we'll see how that pans out. I don't have an answer to your challenge this week, Russ, perfectly honest. I don't. I A, was tired, and B, couldn't be asked. So I will get that for you for next week. I might even throw a bonus one. I might get six for you.
And you know what? If you don't, I think there will have to be a forfeit.
A forfeit? Okay, yeah. I'll go with a forfeit. Do you know what I'll do? Next week's podcast, if I don't have it, I will record this podcast naked. Because nobody will know.
No. I was actually thinking more of a United top, and we'd probably do a 5-minute video segment or something like that for your loyal
I'd be fine for that. I suggested that for the Dundee Derby, and you bottled it.
Yeah.
Well, and it ended up 2-2, so nobody would have done it anyway. Without further ado, folks, I will let you go. I don't apologise for a foul mouth rant earlier on. I hope you enjoyed it. Seems to always get some clicks. Some people like clicks and things like that. So enjoy your game weeks. Enjoy the new Matrix when you get a proper look at it. And take care, guys. We will speak to you all again next week.